Thank you for that introduction. My name is Calvin Meeks. I'm a PhD student under Dr. John Snyder, and I'm going to be discussing some of my irrigation research today. Why prime declamation? Prime declamation has been an irrigation strategy that's been utilized in peanuts to reduce the amount of early season irrigation. And in Georgia, our primary irrigation triggers for sensors are season long. We don't change our recommendations based on the plant's growth stage. So we decided to undertake a study where we would actually withhold early season irrigation to see if we could save water using the sensors early in the season and then still have high yields at the end of the year. Previous research had primarily been done in peanuts by Diane Rowland, and in their observations in peanuts, it was actually observed that utilizing a prime acclimation irrigation strategy actually led to higher yields withholding early season irrigation compared to irrigation events that were full season with no dry periods at any time. So we undertook a sensor-based method utilizing the Watermark soil moisture potential sensors in the state of Georgia. This was a sensor that we were familiar with, so that's the reason that we decided to utilize these sensors to set these thresholds to try and save early season irrigation. So our objectives, we wanted to measure the growth and the agronomic responses of the cotton to this strategy to sufficiently define whether or not these thresholds were viable for cotton production in the state of Georgia. We hypothesized that withholding the early season irrigation, as long as it was at an appropriate threshold that did not stress the plant too highly, would lead to similar yields as the well-watered treatments. So this study was conducted in Camilla in 2014 and 2015 under a variable rate irrigation system, and we had 5 pre-bloom thresholds. We have a negative 20 kilopascal threshold, which would be considered, at least from our previous research, to be overwatered. Negative 40 kilopascals, which would be a well-watered without applying, overwatering the plants. Then negative 70 kilopascals, which would be a moderate withholding of water, and then negative 100, which would be a severe threshold that was essentially near dry land conditions. And then we also had a dry land check. And then once the cotton crop reached bloom, all treatments from then on that were irrigated at negative 35 kilopascals once they were blooming. This is an illustration of our variable rate irrigation system. And you can see from the photo that each segment of the pivot is a different size, and we had to accommodate that by simply planting 8 rows in the center of each section to allow the system to change the irrigation rate without watering plots that weren't supposed to be watered. The data that we collected, we did plant growth analysis where we cut 1 meter of row and broke it down into its individual components. We also, at the same time that the plant growth analysis was undertaken, we collected a green-red index, which is a ratio of green to red pixels with a conventional RGB camera mounted on a drone, and we also collected NDVI with a tractor-mounted green seeker at the same time that all the plant growth analysis was done. At the end of the season, we did a bowl distribution. We plant mapped the 5 plants and each plot using a visual basic macro and a touchscreen Windows 10 tablet to map the bowl distribution, and then the center two rows were harvested for yield calculations. Statistical analysis was done using JMP Pro 12 with 2K's HSD for mean separation. In 2014 and 2015, we had substantially different years. In 2014, we had 32 centimeters of rainfall, whereas in 2015, it was nearly doubled at 61 centimeters of rainfall. So there were vast differences between the 2 years environmentally. This is our crop growth rate. Unfortunately, the majority of our data for the growth analysis had to be done in 2015 because there was not enough data collected in 2014 to do the analysis. In 2015, there was no substantial differences in crop growth rate between any of the five treatments, including the dry land. When you look at the average crop growth rate, a similar trend is observed. The dry land, which is treatment five, was numerically lower, but there was no significant difference between any of the irrigated treatments. Average leaf area showed a similar trend. The average leaf area, there was no significant differences between any of the irrigated treatments or the dry land in 2015 as well. And when you look at it seasonally, the treatment 5 dry land is numerically lower, but there's no significant differences between any of the seasonal leaf areas between any of the irrigated treatments. So what we also looked at was comparing the green-red index, which was the ratio of green to red pixels in a conventional photograph, to the leaf area, and we found a strong correlation with the R-squared of 0.6 with those observations. However, when comparing the leaf area to the NDVI, strangely, we actually had a correlation that was very low. It was only 0.02. And usually with what our prior research has shown is that NDVI and the red-green index correlate strongly together, but in this situation, the NDVI measurements were considerably lower and did not correlate as well with the higher leaf areas as the red-green index did. The lint yield in 2014 in Camilla, we could not statistically separate the dry land from everything else due to the fact that the pivot that we used, we had to plant the dry land in a strip and could not randomize it because there's just simply not room. So it was excluded from the analysis. In 2014, it was numerically much lower in the dry land, but all four irrigation treatments had similar yields. In 2015, however, we can observe that numerically, the dry land was actually the highest yielding treatment, but withholding the water early season had a similar observation that there was no difference in any of the irrigated treatments. This most likely is due to the fact that we had a considerable amount of rainfall after the cotton crop was defoliated in 2015. And harvest was delayed nearly 40 days, and this seems to be correlate fairly well with our plant mapping data. In 2014, with our plant mapping data, there's a fairly similar trend between the bowl distribution between all four irrigated treatments. They all had bowls that were higher on the plant and more bowls at the positions further out, whereas the dry land is the one on the very bottom. As you can see, it barely registered anything that wasn't first position and only went roughly 10 notes high on the plant, which correlates fairly well with the very low 500 kilogram per hectare yield that year. In 2015, we see that the irrigated treatments had similar bowl distributions again, with the bowls on more positions and higher up the nose of the plant, and the dry land, while it was improved over the bowl distribution from 2014, was still significantly lower in the plant, and primarily on the first position with some second position bowls in 2015. So this reinforces the thought that we had substantial yield losses from the rain events. It was just fairly difficult to go and without just picking up everything off the ground to measure exactly how much yield was actually lost. So in conclusion, the plants responded similarly between any of the irrigated treatments, with none of the pre-bloom triggers being too severe to limit their yield. However, the severe drought, especially 2014, that we noticed with the dry land, substantially limited the canopy development and reduced the bowl distribution as well, leading to reduced yields. And we can also conclude that employing drier early season irrigation thresholds may be possible or possible without negative physiological or agronomic implications on the cotton crop. Our future research, we would look to investigate physiological responses to drier pre-bloom irrigation triggers, as well as investigate the possibility of using the green-red index as a threshold to detect drought-stressed plants from an aerial system. I would like to thank the Georgia Cotton Commission for their support in this project, and the UGA Cotton Team, as well as all of my graduate professors for all their support through this project. And with that, if there's any questions, I thank you for your time and we'll be pleased to answer any questions you might have. Well, this is what happens when you don't do prime acclimation. This is when the stations decided they were going to irrigate the ends at for very high yield, and they had no bowls at the bottom of the plant, and maybe trees.
With that in mind, were you using any plant growth regulation?
Yes, the question was, were we using plant growth regulation? And yes, all the treatments were treated with 2 ounces of stance as the plant growth regulator at first bloom for all the treatments. Everything was treated the same.
You're talking about late season water, you're talking about after first bloom?
Right. At first bloom, as soon as we reach first bloom, that's when all the irrigation triggers went to negative 35, which we essentially did the negative 35 because that's a little wetter than our previous recommendations, but in a previous study I had done, it appeared that if we had used that, we could push yield a little higher, so we were just going to use that to ensure we had high yields and mitigate any drought stress we might have had from the drier irrigation. Well, the negative 100 essentially, once it was up and the pre's were activated, it would only be watered on average once a year until it started blooming. I mean, there were rainfall events, of course, but it was only, in fact, in 2015, it received no additional irrigation until it started blooming.